This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Hello, great to be with you.
And Bridget, we're down to just about a month, give or take a little, to our annual dinner.
Yeah.
And yes, it is earlier this year. We have tried, and I think anybody who's part of an organization will understand, when you try and set a date for something, you always want to set it at a time where you're not conflicting with other people. We used to have our dinner every year about March or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out there were so many dinners that were so close together that we thought, well, we'll move it to the fall. And we were going to put it in September. And we did for 1 year. The next year, we had Archbishop Thompson as our speaker, and he couldn't make it in September, but he could make it first week of October. So last year we moved it to the first week of October.
Yep.
And this year because of schedules, we had to move it to August. So August 27th, a Tuesday, August 27th, mark your calendar. We want to see you there, the Catholic Radio Annual Dinner. It's our 15th anniversary.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yay.
And yes, we are going to have a cake, of course.
Excellent.
And we're also going to have a silent auction, a live auction. A lot of fun, and Father Douglas Hunter is going to be our speaker, and Father Hunter is a pastor at St. Rock, and he is also chaplain for the Indianapolis Colts, so he's going to have a lot of interesting things to share with us, so mark your calendar, August 27th, same place, but a new name. If you're not familiar with that yet, we've had it for quite a few years at the Northside Knights of Columbus at 71st and Keystone. It's going to be the very same place, but the place has a new name. It's the Northside Events and Social Club. Just the Knights of Columbus as an organization worldwide are getting away from owning buildings and having halls as they used to have years ago. So same place, still run by the Knights. It just has a new name, Northside Events and Social Club, 71st and Keystone there, where it's always been. Love to see you there. You can get tickets, reserve seats on our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, or you can simply call us here at 317-870-8400, and we can get you tickets that way as well. So CatholicRadioIndy.org or 317-870-8400.
Yeah, it's a really, really fun event. And another thing I want to bring up is that we do have a Facebook page here at Catholic Radio Indy. If you have a Facebook page, or if you are a Facebook user, if you're on that platform, please follow us there. You get all sorts of information about what's going on here. We take pictures when we're in the studio, don't we, Jim?
Yes, we do.
And we try to let people know what we're doing and with our events and
absolutely.
And other news that's going on in the Arch Indy area. So
absolutely. And there's just always things going on. And Facebook is something we use, Constant Contact we use. And we talk about it on the air, too, but if you don't happen to be listening on the air at a particular time, you don't hear it. So sometimes you might see it in Facebook or Constant Contact or some of our other social media as well.
Yeah, and our groups are growing, so that's really great. I think we're passing 700 at this point, so just that's a great number, too, isn't it?
Absolutely. I would never have guessed that many.
So we are have a great show lined up for you today. We are going to be talking with Father Travis Stevens. He's the associate pastor at St. Louis de Montfort in, where is that? In Fishers, right?
That's right, in Fishers.
And we're going to be talking about a topic which really touches all of our lives at one point or another, and it is end of life. And we're looking at end of life issues from a Catholic perspective. So, Father Travis, welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And I think a lot of people, what's the joke? You know, there are two certain things in life, what, death and taxes? And so we're all going to face both those. I guess if you are a really good tax attorney, you can get out of some of those taxes. But none of us are getting out of death. So, Father, let's start with just give our listeners a little bit of your background, because I know you have kind of an expertise in this area. So go ahead and launch and give us a scoop about you.
Yeah, so I am a convert to Catholicism, and I converted back in 2001. And
I did not know that. That's really awesome.
Yeah, but during the time when I was converting, I was also thinking about what I wanted to study when I went to college. And I had always had an interest in the sciences. So I began studying biology, pre-medicine. I took up chemistry and biochemistry. And I also started to think about the priesthood. So I studied philosophy as well. So I ended up graduating from Ball State with five majors, four in the sciences, one in philosophy. And I always had a great interest in healthcare, biology, and issues surrounding ethics. So I kind of took that interest in science, brought that with me to the seminary, and after getting ordained, I was able to do a certification program through the National Catholic Bioethics Center. And I did that back in 2015, 2016. And I've also been able to participate in several ethics boards here in the Indianapolis area, especially with St. Vincent's Ascension Health.
You know, it's really interesting that you bring up about the sciences and biology and philosophy, and really, they all go together so well. I mean, people probably don't think about that, but they really do. Do you want to talk about that? I know that wasn't one of our questions, but I'm just giving you tricky ones, you know?
No, I mean, that's definitely one of my favorite topics to talk about, how faith and science, there's a great unity between the two of those. And that's actually something I enjoy talking to college kids and high schools about, the interplay between faith and science, even though they are different truths, there's a oneness to that truth because of the one divine creator.
Right. I mean, it's all from the same source, you know, from our God created it all, right?
So, exactly.
You know, there isn't going to be disunity in that, yep, because it's all from the same source. So let's talk a little bit about what is permissible when we talk about end of life issues, because it's really a struggle when people are in that kind of crisis situation. Mm-hmm. What does the church teach about? Maybe let's talk about, I mean, obviously we have a goal. We're all going to heaven. I mean, that's kind of like the plan. That's like the end game here.
Right.
So I think, talk about that. What does the church teach about that, I guess?
Good question. So I think maybe
there may have been two questions there, I think.
Probably the best place to start is just to say exactly what the church understands death to be.
Okay.
And we can look at it from either a spiritual perspective, maybe even we might say an ontological perspective, which is for us the separation between the soul and the body.
Okay.
And John Paul II, in an address in the 90s, says that death is really the death of the human person. And so it is the total disintegration of that unifying principle. It's the separation of the body and the soul.
Okay.
That's a spiritual understanding of death.
Okay.
Scientifically speaking, we can define death in two ways. It is irreversible cardiopulmonary cessation or total neurological cessation that is also irreversible.
Okay. So permanent vegetative state would be that second one or the third one?
No.
Okay.
A permanent vegetative state is when a person has significant brain damage, but they don't have total brain death.
Okay, gotcha.
Correct.
Okay, so, good. I'm glad you made that distinction because I think I would put that in the same category.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we're talking with Father Travis Stevens. He is Associate Pastor of St. Louis de Montfort, and we're talking about the end of life issues from a Catholic perspective. So what is permissible from a Catholic perspective when we're reaching the end of life? And maybe you can give us some scenarios too.
Right. So to determine what is permissible, the Catholic perspective is to look at different treatments. We don't evaluate a person's quality of life and say, is this person worthy of being alive or not? Which is really the perspective of those who advocate euthanasia or physician-assisted suicide. Rather, what we do is evaluate treatments and say, is this treatment extraordinary or disproportionate means, or is this treatment ordinary or what we would call proportionate means?
Okay.
We as Catholics are obliged to utilize ordinary means of treatment. extraordinary means of treatment are things that we are not obliged to utilize.
Now, we can use those, but we're not required from a Catholic perspective to do these extraordinary measures.
That's correct.
We can do them if we want. We're okay, but we're not required.
Right.
Okay.
And basically, to determine whether or not a treatment is considered extraordinary, we ask ourselves, is this treatment burdensome to the patient? Or is this treatment futile or ineffective? And so that is what will determine whether or not a treatment is extraordinary means or versus ordinary means.
Okay. Now, do dollars and cents come in there as well, in that a family maybe of limited means, maybe of limited or no insurance, are in that situation and they're looking at, gee, there is some treatment available, but maybe can't afford it?
That is correct. Yes, financial means actually is something that we want to consider. And
versus when we're talking about extraordinary versus ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, we don't want to bankrupt one's account in order to keep somebody alive needlessly to the end. You know, that's another thing, that as Christians, we believe in the resurrection. We have hope in the resurrection. And so we don't fear death. We don't preserve life to the point where at all costs.
Because there's the next chapter, right?
That's right. That's right.
And that's the one we're really looking forward to.
That's always one of the ironies of being a Christian, is we all want to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to heaven without dying. And nobody wants to die.
Nobody wants to die.
Right.
I mean, we all want to live, right? So let's talk about physician-assisted suicide. What is that, and where is it permissible?
Right. So
it's not legal in Indiana. We know that.
Right. So there are 8 districts or 7 states, including the District of Columbia, where physician-assisted suicide is legal. We make a distinction between physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia in the sense that a physician assists a patient in making that decision to die by suicide, essentially, usually through the use of barbiturates. So they consume barbiturates, or they are given a lethal injection of some kind. And the physician assists them in that. It's not the physician who actually does the act. So in other words, we're kind of looking at, with regard to the physician, we're looking at it from the perspective of the principle of cooperation. So the physician cooperates in the evil act of the patient.
Yeah, so it seems very little distinction there, really.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, if you're the doctor or the medical person and you provide the setting for this, you provide all the chemicals or drugs for it, and you provide the means to get it to the person, all of which that person wouldn't have had without you.
Right.
It's just kind of a matter of who pulls the trigger. Whether right. the doctor does or the patient, right?
Correct. And in the case of physician-assisted suicide, it's the patient, whereas with euthanasia, it's the physician.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk some more about physician-assisted suicide and end-of-life issues from a Catholic perspective. We're talking with Father Travis Stevens. We'll be right back for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Here is your special invitation to our annual dinner. It's coming right up on Tuesday, August 27th. It'll be at the Northside Events and Social Club, formerly the Knights of Columbus Hall, near 71st and Keystone. It begins with a reception and silent auction at 6 p.m., then dinner at 7. There'll be a live auction with some really special items. If you have new items that you'd like to donate to either the silent auction or the live auction, please let us know right away. Father Douglas Hunter, pastor of St. Rock Parish and chaplain for the Indianapolis Colts, will be the speaker. It'll be a fun event, and it will raise some funds that are critical to keeping Catholic radio on the air in this area. Tickets are $65 per person, or you can round up some friends and save some money with a table for 8 for just $450. Tickets are available right now online at Catholic Radio Indy or by calling 317-870-8400. And special thanks to Franciscan Health for their help in underwriting the cost of this year's event.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio with me, and we're talking with Father Travis Stevens. He's the associate pastor of St. Louis de Montfort Parish in Fishers, and we are talking about end-of-life issues from a Catholic perspective. Let's talk about physician-assisted suicide and what the church's position is on that and why it's viewed as something that is wrong.
Mm-hmm. So from an ethical perspective, we would say that this individual, a patient who chooses physician-assisted suicide, is choosing to end their own life. And so from a Catholic perspective, life is a gift, and we are stewards of that gift. And when we choose to end our life, we justify that by the principle of autonomy. And we're saying that this is an act that is freely chosen. But really, what a person does in choosing to end their life is undermining their own autonomy. Now, I think it's important to address what it is that patients are actually asking for by seeking suicide, physician-assisted suicide. Often patients are experiencing great anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of the pain mm-hmm. that accompanies dying. They may be worried about the cost and burden that this has on a family member. And these are some of the things that motivate patients to seek physician-assisted suicide. I can speak to this as a family member who lost a loved one by suicide. My dad died by suicide a little over a year ago. One of the first experiences that I personally had when my dad died by suicide was, I have lost an opportunity to love my father to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I lost that opportunity to show my father that love. And that's something that I think that patients don't necessarily think about, is this is an opportunity for your family members to show you love. This is an opportunity for charity. With regard to anxiety regarding the pain mm-hmm. that we may be suffering, as Catholics, we believe that we can utilize painkillers to relieve a patient of that pain. At the same time, pain is a reality of life. And as Catholics, one of the most beautiful things about the church is that we believe in redemptive suffering. We believe that our suffering has value. Now, that doesn't mean that we go around like sadists mm-hmm. seeking out pain.
Right.
But if we experience pain and suffering, that pain and suffering has value and meaning. And it can be a sacrifice that we offer up in union with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And it has redemptive value, not only for ourselves, but for our loved ones and family and friends as well.
Now, just a thought that came to mind here as we were talking about this. In the 8 districts, the 7 states and District of Columbia where assisted suicide is a reality, is it only in cases of terminal illnesses, or could somebody just get, feeling so bad they just don't want to go on anymore and they're perfectly healthy, they just want to call it quits? Does that figure into it at all, or does it have to be terminal?
Currently, it is supposed to be terminal, yes.
Okay.
And I do know that from other, in writing about this, that there are many times when people are in a, you know, they're not in necessarily in their right mind. They have a significant anxiety. Maybe they're suffering from depression. There's lots of things going on that they're not their normal self. And they might be, I mean, even when you get the flu, I mean, my daughter and I were talking about this the other day, you feel like you want to die, you know? I mean, hasn't everyone said that at one point? Like, you feel so bad, you've got the flu or whatever, and just the flu. I want to die, I feel so bad. And so if you are experiencing pain or the thought of a terminal illness, I mean, wouldn't that be the natural reaction?
I think that it is. I also think that some people have the view that God is somehow punishing them because of the pain that they're experiencing. One of the remedies for that in the church is the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. The primary grace of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick is the healing of the spiritual ailment that accompanies physical sickness.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about physical sickness, often people do have that residual guilt due to past sins that they call to mind. The point of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick is to give them that sense of relief with regard to the guilt that they may be experiencing due to past sins that have already been forgiven in the sacrament of reconciliation, but nonetheless continue to have an assaulting impact on the soul.
An issue that comes to my mind as we're talking about this, when you go to the doctors today, whether you're going for an ingrown toenail or open heart surgery, when you fill out the questions at the beginning, one of the questions toward the end is always, do you have a living will? Do you have a medical power of attorney? And I think there's one more that I can't remember. Which of those are a good idea? Which are those should maybe people stay away from, or do they need any of them?
Right. So a living will essentially dictates what medical treatment you would like to have at the end of life should you lose consciousness. The Catholic Church encourages patients, people to actually not have a living will as much as a medical power of attorney. That being said, it's important for you to communicate what your wishes are to that medical power of attorney. You can't just appoint somebody and not tell them anything about what you want done towards the end of life. But in terms of picking out who that medical power of attorney is, it's important for you to talk to them, express your wishes, but then also to make sure that that person is a person guided by the Catholic Church and lives a life that is, you know, follows the wisdom and conscience
and of so the Church. So you're talking about a family member or a friend, or as opposed to a attorney in the legal sense of the word.
Absolutely, yes. So a family member or a friend, somebody who becomes a surrogate decision maker, really only in the event that you are not able to make those decisions for yourself.
So I want to talk about what is permissible, you know, at the end of life. I mean, what would be considered normal treatment or ordinary treatment? What would be considered extraordinary? So we're talking ordinary would be at least food and water.
Right. So, I mean, even at the end, okay, so that is really the determination of what is ordinary or extraordinary actually is determined on a very case-by-case basis.
I mean, that makes sense.
Even as you get to the end, the means by which you administer
food,
nutrition,
and water, if you
hydration.
Right, if you can't eat
right.
or drink or...
Exactly. Or even that can be considered extraordinary means towards the end. If a person is not able to assimilate the nutrition or hydration, so then it's no longer obligatory. But yes, ordinary care, taking care of the patient, bathing them, making sure that they are comfortable, these are the things that we are obliged to do. Things we are not obliged to do, no one is obliged to undergo experimental treatment. No one is obliged to undergo aggressive treatment that may be burdensome to them or futile. And by burdensome, I mean as much financially burdensome or physically painful, psychologically reprehensible to that individual, such as having, you know, limbs amputated or a complete disfigurement of the face or something like that. These are things that may be burdensome in a different way.
So now, it's perfectly permissible for someone near the end of life to say, hey, that's it for me. Just let me go. Just don't do any more stuff.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you one more thing. I know those who support physician-assisted suicide say that it's like maybe it's compassionate to allow people to die. There doesn't have to be a lot of suffering in the dying process for the person. There's a whole area of medicine called palliative care. Do you want to talk about that briefly? We only have about 3 minutes left, but address that. I mean, it's not inhumane to die of a natural cause, and it doesn't have to be this terrible suffering, right?
Correct. And we are not in the state of, you know, the 19th century when we didn't have a decent medical care. Today, there is a whole branch of medicine called palliative care, and that begins really when a person just starts to get sick. I mean, the most basic comfort of taking care of a person. And of course, it increases as a person maybe gets closer to the end and is suffering more. But palliative care is not something that, it's not like it begins here 1 week before the person dies. It's something that actually should begin at the moment that a person is diagnosed with a terminal condition. And it increases in terms of how it is utilized as the prognosis develops.
The point I really want to make, and I want you kind of to affirm, is it's not compassionate to execute somebody with physician-assisted suicide.
That's exactly right.
That's kind of the point I want to get. Now, I know you have some resources, and before, if you could maybe offer some resources for people who want to get some more information, and then I'd like you to offer a blessing over our listening audience.
Right. So, for Indiana, we have the Appointment of a Medical Power of Attorney, a document that you can get online. Indiana Durable Power of Attorney for Healthcare and Appointment of Representative Form. So that's the official name of the document.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important document.
No, just out of curiosity, do you need a form, or can I just make somebody? I say, I'll be your attorney, you be my attorney, or do you should have that in writing?
Yes, you need to have that in writing. If you don't have that in writing, then now state law dictates that like your spouse will be your healthcare power of attorney, followed by eldest children.
Mm-hmm. Get the form,
parents.
Jim.
So yeah, I think it's better to have.
And
the
where
form.
Do we get that form?
You can find that on the Indiana State website, I believe.
Okay.
Or get that through any attorney's office. And then the other document that I would recommend is a Catholic Guide to End-of-Life Decisions by the NCBC, National Catholic Bioethics Center. It's a great document that really just summarizes everything that we've already kind of talked about.
So if you could give our audience a blessing, and then we'll say goodbye and thank you, right?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll send your spirit down upon the people of God here in the state of Indiana, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Our guest today has been Father Travis Stevens. We've been talking about the end of life issues from a Catholic perspective. Thank you so much for offering your expertise.
Thank you very much.
God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.